sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, March 21st, and we're back with you. An overcast day.
It is.
What are we going to do?
Seriously, not the sunny mornings we've been having.
I know. We broke the record of 2,000 days straight of sunny days. Did you feel the earthquake last night?
I didn't, but I saw your Facebook status.
Yeah.
So there was another one?
Well, it was just like that one at 8:30, the aftershock, you know, just like one bang and that was it, you know. So, yeah, but it's, I don't know, man, the ground is still stretching, I guess. But maybe it's a good sign, you know, maybe if it releases the pressure, like, gradually, then we won't have a big one, you know.
Is it a good sign?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of pressure between the plates, you know, and and it just, sometimes it just, it can't handle the pressure anymore, and it sends these vibrations and stuff, you know.
Does it build up and build up? If there isn't one for a while, it's building and building. And
I think so, yeah. And, scary. Where you have fault lines, you know, the ground moves against each other. So, so much for living in Southern California and not being prepared, you know. Are you prepared? Do you have any first aid, earthquake kit or something? I know,
no.
I don't either.
All I heard is that you should climb under something. So right. Under my bed, I have suitcases and stuff, but I push them against the wall, so I can climb under. If need be, I can climb under my bed.
Under your bed, huh? Okay. That's the thing. You have to be lucky and be at home at the time in order for it to work. I'd rather be outside somewhere, you know.
Really?
Don't
want to
have anything falling on me.
But then what
crushing
if
me.
The ground cracks where you are?
The ground's not going to crack. Come on.
You don't
it
know that.
Happen.
You know. That's what I think. When I think of earthquakes, I think of movies that I've seen where the earth's cracking and people are falling in between the cracks.
Yeah, no, that's not what's going to happen. More likely is buildings are going to collapse and people are going to die. It happened when the Northridge earthquake happened. It was like an accordion. I mean, the whole building just kind of collapsed on itself.
Gosh.
But all the cars were flat that parked underneath, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's not funny. A few people died, but it was an amazing, amazing experience to go through, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy. Natural disasters I find freaky.
Yeah, I know. They're very scary because there's nothing you can do, you know? But we should be happy and everything. You know, I wanted to bring this up because they're talking, every year they talk about, like, the happiest places in the world to live, like, where people claim they're the happiest. And they also look at, like, you know, the lifestyle and everything, the cost of living and so forth. And, you know, you just know that LA, you know, with all the traffic, totally reduces the lifestyle here, you know, and the quality of life. But, but when I read the headline, I knew what those countries were because they're always up there. You know,
what countries?
And those are the Scandinavian countries, like Norway. The first one is Denmark, actually. That's the top, the happiest country in the world.
That's interesting.
I know. I've been to Denmark a couple times, but I was really young, you know. But I remember the last time I was about 15, 16, but we had the best time, you know.
Really?
We went with some friends and, I mean, family and friends and stuff, so... at 16 years old, we were going out, picking up girls and stuff. It was amazing. We're only there for a few days.
What is, because, I mean, Scandinavian countries, I wouldn't think of those. Whereas, like, America and England or the UK, Australia, are they up there at all?
Australia is number 10. The UK and the US are not even in the top 10.
Well, I can see that
yeah.
about... England.
Yeah, I guess. Or the UK. You know, yeah, you know, or here too. You know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things that you have to remember something, that the happiest people usually are places where there's no wars. You know, I mean, we're constantly involved in wars. You know, we're the policemen of the world and everything. And it seems like we're everywhere. And these countries, they're just like, yeah, they're left alone. They leave everybody alone. They just focus on themselves. And they do great, you know. So you have Denmark, you have Norway, then you have Switzerland, who's not in Scandinavia, but still, Switzerland, a great place to live, you know. They've got no problems.
Yeah,
there.
I've never been there, but I've always wanted to go to the Swiss Alps and go skiing.
It's beautiful.
Oh, that just sounds amazing.
I know.
It's on my bucket list. I'm from Europe, but I should have done it while I lived there.
Yeah,
but.
I know. Well, you're still young, you know. Netherlands, of course. I love Amsterdam. Been there a few times. Mm-hmm. Sweden. You know, Canada, Finland, Austria, and Iceland, and Australia. So all the countries
Canada's that, up that too.
Yeah, all the countries that are not involved in war or anything. You know, we have a military. We're everywhere, and we'll talk about it with our guest. We have a very interesting guest today, who's got opinions about just about anything, and so it's going to be fun. But they said yesterday was designated as the United Nations International Day of Happiness. So that's why they brought this up.
I saw that.
Yeah. So
what does that mean? is that just a day when you're supposed to? I feel like they have a day for everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do.
I can't think of them off the top of my head, but usually I tweet, happy National Day of Cupcakes and National Happy Day of Hamburgers. Like, there's literally a day for every single thing you can think of.
That's true, yeah.
It's crazy.
It really is, you know, but people like to mark things, you know. And but some things are really stupid, you know.
Seriously.
That we celebrate here.
It's crazy.
I know. But, you know, there's also... Oh, there's a couple things. I just thought this was interesting because in Turkey, you know, they're like the division between religion and politics is not that clear over there, right? Mm-hmm. So they decided to start. The prime minister says he's going to eradicate Twitter. I mean, this is not like we're just going to make it go away, but you know, it's like we're going to make you people really, really suffer. You know, and we're going to show you who's in charge and who decides for whom. And, you know, I just like it makes you wonder, you know, what is that desire to oppress people so much, you know?
Yeah, wow.
And yeah, it's like to eradicate. I mean, it's like a disease. And all it is a tool for people to communicate. So that's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, people get oppressed, and that's why in Turkey, obviously, they're not very happy.
Well, I know that in China, maybe Japan too. All Facebook, Twitter, Instagram—they're all banned. You can't use them.
You can't
even get onto them.
Right. And then they put their own. You know, they have their own social networks and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what oppression is about, and it's about people not finding out how the other half lives.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's separation. You're completely separated from the rest of the world, and you don't know anything outside of your comfort zone in your country.
I know. So, you know, but we try to accept China the way it is because it's so big and we need it. But at the same time, I mean, they're still stuck in the Stone Age, you know, as far as some of these things. So, one more thing is... This is really like curious for me because you know Spotify. Have you ever heard of Spotify?
Yeah.
So I use it. It's really cool because it's like the biggest jukebox in the world, right? And it's cool because you know you're not stealing the music. They're paying the artists. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So I listen to it. Then I put it on my iPhone to listen on the go, right? And so you have to pay $10 for that. And then you get no commercials and you get mobile as well. No, for every month to use it on your phone.
Oh.
To use the app on your phone. So it's not the cost of the app, but it's like a subscription service, you know. So that way they can support the ones that don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they do this. It's like a business model where some people use it for free, some people pay, and then it makes up for it. So... So I've been using it and it's great and stuff. But then I realized it's not the $10 a month it's costing me. It's costing me another $30 for the bandwidth for my on my data plan on the phone.
Oh.
Because you're streaming so much, you know. So suddenly I realized I'm paying $40-$50 to listen to music. This is ridiculous. You know, I can just put the songs on my phone.
Data on iPhones especially, it just drives me insane. Every month I'm on the phone to AT&T.
Yeah.
Because I just do not believe... I used 2 gigabytes of data in 2 days this month.
Really?
There's no way.
No way.
There's no way.
No way. And do you like download videos, audio? Nothing, right?
Wow. And I go on social media. I check my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram.
No, those
but
don't
that
take
does
up
not
bandwidth.
Take up 2 gigabytes of data
it
in 2 days.
It does
but
not.
Things
not even it, in a month.
It drives me insane.
Yeah.
And my bill just keeps going over and over and over and over. And every month I'm on the phone to AT&T. But apps like that do take up. Pandora is the same.
Yeah.
But I don't, the commercials kill me on Pandora.
Really?
Like it's every other song and you can only skip like 4 times or
right.
I don't even know what it is. It just drives me crazy. But I do like Spotify. But
right.
the data thing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so but so now they made the mobile free as well, right? So now you can get the mobile, but it has commercials on it. And you're right, the commercials are annoying, but you know when you're not paying anything. So
yeah,
but you gotta check this out though. I mean, and that's why I brought this up. What I find out about the new mobile app now that has the commercials and is free, you can't play the songs you want. In other words, you can have a playlist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but you can't choose the song you want. It's got to be random. It's got to be a shuffle type of a thing.
So it's more like Pandora. Where
probably,
you pick the
right.
playlist that you want, and they generate the songs that are in the playlist.
Okay, so in Pandora, also you choose your songs in advance?
No, you choose the playlist.
Right.
So say I wanted to listen to country, I pick, say, Luke Bryan.
Okay, all
it would
right.
be a bunch of country songs, but not necessarily Luke Bryan.
Okay, so Spotify is different because you can actually collect like your own songs into a playlist, like the songs you like. You just, when there's a song, you click on the star and then it puts it in a star list. So then you have only the songs you want to listen to.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's fine and that's great. But you can't listen to the song specifically when you want to. It has to be on shuffle. It has to be where it serves the songs for you. Now, if this is not crazy and stupid and ridiculous, I don't know what is, but that's what's happened on the internet. You know, everybody with their copyrights and everybody wants money and all these extortionists and people that just want to cash in and they create things that are totally ridiculous.
Well, what are they truly getting from that, not being able to shuffle?
That's a good question, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, the reasoning is really convoluted and stuff, you know. They would tell you, oh, because if someone knows what song's going to come up, then they would record it or something, you know, so you can't announce what song's coming next and that sort of thing.
It's all crazy now.
It is, but I have my own playlist. I mean, you're going to play the songs I want anyway. It's just not in the order that I want, so what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
How do the artists benefit from this? I have no idea. But that's what's going on, you know. And maybe we'll ask our guest who's sitting here patiently and has opinion about a lot of things. So we're going to bring in Corey Leland on the show. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Thanks for having me, Sam
of
and
course.
Charlotte. Great to be here.
Yes, and thanks for sitting here patiently and everything, because I know you have something to say about pretty much everything. And if you have something to comment on what we had to say, we can get to that too. But,
sure.
But just a little background on you. You're mainly a musician, right?
I'm a musician, but I think as most musicians in the classical sense, I mean, historically, like in India, the greatest spiritual teachers were also musicians.
Really?
And so I'm a musician in that sense. I'm an artist, but I see myself primarily as a spiritual teacher because I think that's most needed.
Wow. So how do you qualify as a spiritual teacher?
That's a great, great question. Of course.
Of course, we only ask great questions here. We only have 50 minutes.
Yeah. Well, in our country, you have to go to a school and learn the right answers.
Right.
And then you get a certificate that says you're a spiritual teacher. But for me, it's been more home study and deep dedication and many, many, many years of meditation. And when I'm at home, I'm at talk about something called the top of the hour. I practice meditating every hour.
Are you serious?
For 5 minutes when I'm at home since April of 1992.
Wow.
Wow.
So that adds up. The consistency adds up. It's like having a New Year's resolution every hour. So when you say, how do you qualify? It's hard to really...
I think you're qualified. I definitely think that makes you more qualified than just having a piece of paper that says...
If the spirit is on you, then you're qualified. You know, it's hard for anyone to judge another whether or not. It's just really, by their fruits ye shall know them is what Jesus said. So essentially, you see what's coming out of them. What do they create? What do they say? What do they do is better than, let me see your certificate of completion.
That's true, yeah. I mean, I hear people can become like a reverend online and things like that. You know, you just pay $25 or something.
I think it's 50, but I did 50. It. I did that.
Did you really?
Yeah. It's called the Universal Life Church, and they've been around, I think, since the 1930s. But it's really a First Amendment freedom of speech thing, because they don't judge you on whether or not you went to catechism and learned the right answers. Uh-huh. They say, look, we'll give you this legality to practice as a counselor.
Right.
And it's up to you to develop your own consciousness, because, you know, the guy would go around in the 30s, Kirby, I think was his name, and he would say, what kind of church are you looking for? When they asked him about the church. So what is it that you're looking for? What kind of church? Whatever they would say, he would say, this is it.
Uh-huh.
But really, it's just free speech. And I got the certificate. And in fact, 12-12-12, I decided to give myself a promotion. I am now a doctor of divinity.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. You see?
I'm a doctor.
Yeah, a self-appointed
See, your mom would
one.
Love me.
Yeah. How did you get into meditation and being spiritual?
You know, I think like most people, I saw it as a way back in like 1987 or 88, to further my career. You know, most people go to God in our country. We're trained. You go to God to get things, to improve your human lot in life. Mm. So even The Secret and that really popular movement where we're still using God, oh, God, give me a bigger house. Give me more money. If only I had a new car. You know, right. Only I was married. Only I had kids. So that's what most people go to God for, to get more stuff. And that's how I was sucked into it also. Mm. But I found the real message is not that at all.
Okay, so we're not meant to really be involved in all these material things. You're saying there's more to it, right?
By definition, spirituality has not to do with materialism.
Right,
yeah.
It's the opposite pretty much.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, do you feel that the creation was created in order for us to experience the material world, since we're spirits to begin with?
Well, that's a wonderful question. Yes, it is remembering, like in The Lion King, remember who you are, Simba.
Right.
So we're in a deep sleep that says you're just a body.
Right.
You're separate from everything. You're isolated and you're vulnerable, fragile, and doomed to disease and death.
Right. So just like the movie The Matrix, right?
It's something so like much that. Like The Matrix, what I call not actually happening-ism.
Yeah, that's true. So we're in a dream world, in a dream state right now.
Correct.
Yeah. In our bodies.
Yes, sir.
And then once we leave the body, we're back to our spiritual being.
But the thing is, time we see as linear. We think it's going to happen after we die, but heaven is going on right now.
Right.
We're soaking in it.
Right.
There was a commercial in the U.S. way back when I was a kid. You're soaking in it. And this lady's at the beauty salon, and she's soaking in dishwashing liquid. Uh-huh. It's a commercial for dishwashing liquid. And it's supposed to be good for you. Instead of drying out your hands, it's actually like therapy. And so she's at the salon, supposedly paying these high prices, and the Madge, the store owner, says, you're soaking in it. So we're always soaking in God.
Yeah.
It's omnipresent.
That's
but we're
true.
Unaware of it, because we're conditioned to believe we're separate and just what I call flesh puppets.
Right. And I do believe, you know, that, I mean, this reality in the scheme of things and stuff, this world is an illusion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been given limitations, you know, like our five senses and stuff. They help us communicate and sense the world and perceive it, but they also limit us in so many different ways when you think about it. So, you know, and then uncertainty and things like that. But, you know, the main thing, though, is the amazing thing is that we're made of atoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, an atom is 99% of nothing. You know, so it's an illusion. I mean, how does a wall stop you when it's 99% nothing? But that's essentially what it is, you know.
But you see how afraid you can get. Even there's like an ancient story about a man who gets out of his bath and he steps on a wet rope. And he thinks it's a snake.
Yeah.
And he falls back just terrified and just white in the face until he's just like almost dead from fear until he realizes it's just a wet rope.
Yeah,
and
so it's the fear that that does it to us.
We have all these things that we believe, like we believe the snake, the wet rope was a snake. And so through the physical senses and the thought system that we're programmed with as part of the body, part of the human drama, we've projected a world of unreality.
Right.
So this message of not actually happening ism.
Right.
As a worldview, and it's supposed to be a little bit humorous, because if you're not laughing, that's not a good thing.
That's true, yeah.
But,
and I'm not saying you're not supposed to enjoy the human drama and the Matrix, but you can enjoy a game of Monopoly without actually believing that you're a top hat or a schnauzer.
Okay, so we need to remember we're not God.
I love that. I always wanted the top hat.
Yeah, you do your best you can when you're playing Monopoly, but you have to suspend certain beliefs and theories in order to play, because you don't get up in the middle of the game, wait a minute, I'm not a schnauzer. You know, you have to play. That's going to be me. That's going to be you. This is money. And these little red things are hotels. So to be a human, to participate in the human dream, you have to accept the fact, okay, I'm a body. But in your meditations, you can be willing to let it all go at any moment. So you let go of the past, you let go of the future, you forget your body and the world just for 1 second.
Yeah, that's true. So what does it do for you, though? I mean, like every hour is pretty cool. Does it keep you like focused and grounded and stuff? I mean,
It's like if you were a fish, it would be, and you're out of water, like the world is like out of water to our spiritual identity. So it's like wetting your gills in the spirit.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a New Year's resolution every hour. If you said this hour, I'm going to be, you said it was a happy day.
Right.
Every hour, so okay, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to let everything that I'm preoccupied with that keeps me upset go, at least for 1 second, and you just let go with both hands, as Buddha says.
Yeah.
But what it does is it helps you to, in that one instant, when you're not preoccupied with past, future, wanting, fearing, hating, you know, the brain is like a car without brakes.
Mm-hmm.
If you let go for even one instant, you've made some space to receive the grace, which shines on your mind and helps you to remember that you're really a spirit, and that's where the peace comes from.
That's true. So now your spirituality, is it pretty close to religion as well? I mean, you brought up Jesus and stuff. Have you been like into the Bible, into religion?
You know, when you set out to be a spiritual teacher, if that's your calling in this life, in the U.S., you have to speak Christianity. And so I was born Jewish, you know,
But why do you have to? I mean, if you're spiritual, it doesn't really have a religion, right? It's different opinions, different customs, different traditions. But they say spirituality knows no boundaries.
Yeah. Right. Definitely I'm more spiritual. I'm not any particular religion.
Right.
But I have to respect the fact that people are, and you have to meet them where they are if you want to communicate with them.
So you think that more spiritual people are Christians? Even though you were born Jewish.
No, in the U.S., the Jewish population is very, very small in the whole world compared to the Christian. So if I want to speak spirituality, you have to be prepared to talk about Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
And look, I'll be honest with you, I like talking about Jesus. The teaching is all there, but the churches have got it all wrong.
Mm.
So when somebody says, well, I'm an atheist, you know, they've got it half right. They recognize that what's being taught in the churches can't be it. I can't burn in hell just because I masturbated when I was 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not eternal damnation just because I, you know, whatever small infraction.
When we were given the penis and the hand, you know, I mean, the thing is that to let it go to waste is a shame. Go on.
No, sometimes you have to put him to sleep so you can get to sleep.
Yeah,
you know about
exactly.
that. You know. No, but the thing is spirituality, and you find the real message actually is in most religions if you dig deep enough. Like Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, the kingdom is within you. So getting back to the Matrix and that this world is a dream.
Right.
And here's something really that I've never heard any other spiritual teacher say. The object of the world and human living is not to so much improve it, but to outgrow and escape. So it's about be calm and exit the Matrix is a Facebook meme that I posted recently. I like
really?
That one a lot because we need to practice waking up out of the dream. So the goal of real spirituality and religion, truth be told, is to wake up. This is a dream. We're not supposed to be loving it, enjoying it, and say, oh, it's a Titanic. Wait, and somebody says, wait, there's the iceberg. Say, no, let's go do karaoke. It's starting in 5 minutes. But wait, there's an iceberg. No, let's rearrange the furniture. But the ice, bam.
Right.
So humanly, we're headed towards an iceberg. Whether we're having a lot of money, we're famous, whatever it is, spirituality is learning where the lifeboat is. And
saying to be realistic.
Realistic in the sense, the capital R, real, is eternal and changeless. So there's a part of you that is real, that will never die, it can't be sick, and has no problems. And hourly, at the top of each hour, can you practice identifying more deeply with that spiritual self than what you see in the mirror?
Mm. So it makes sense, you know. Yeah. Have you studied some of the the spiritual side of religions, astrology, numerology, things like that that go with spirituality? Have you been involved in any of that?
Not as much as astrology has. It seems to have a lot of truth to it at this level. It really right. does. But I like fortune cookies too, you know. But I've found so much about astrology to seem to be true at this level.
Right.
But then at this level, when you're in the Monopoly game, there are certain rules like nutrition and exercise, and you do the best you can. But I'm just saying, at that top of the hour time, when you do choose to meditate, can you be willing to, at least for 1 second, and it might take you a few minutes to get that second, be willing to just let the whole thing go, the baby and the bathwater,
right.
and just be open to receive the new, you know? So, yeah. And the new would be the awareness, ultimately, that who you really are is spirit, non-structural perfection.
Yeah.
If someone is trying to get into meditation and to be more spiritual, how would they go about that? Because I've been told that I need to find a happy place in the middle, the center of my body, and study the chakras and things like that. But I have no idea where to start. How would somebody, how does somebody do that?
That's a great, great question. Thank you for that, Charlotte. And I do recommend this top of the hour message because consistency, like if you knew a friend who wanted to lose 30 pounds and you took them to the gym for the first time, and you said, look, if you get on this treadmill every day and you work this machine and you eat a certain way, and then you went to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's and you adjusted their diet, they're going to lose that 30 pounds if they work. So there are certain things that I teach that are like what I call spiritual aerobics. And the more you practice them, in the face of every temptation to worry about something, that's a good place to start. Like, what do you most worry about in life? Or what do you seem to be wanting or lacking? And we would start there. Because if it's your issue and your need in your human situation, we use your challenges as incentive to practice identifying with your spiritual essence, which has no problems.
Right.
So, like, what do you most worry about?
I worry about a lot. I come from a family of warriors. So.
We come from a species of warriors. In our society, worry is greatly promoted 24/7.
I think
one of the big aspects of this quote-unquote missing airliner is just to spray the country with worry.
I somewhat agree with you. I mean, everyone, I get it from every female in my family just worries. Worries,
really?
Worries.
What do you worry about, Charlotte, specifically? What keeps you up at night with worry?
A lot.
Yeah. Just life.
Just give me one thing.
The usual things, money, romance, probably things like that. You know?
So the great thing is, at the top of the hour time, it's like voting in a different way, except it's not just being concerned with your own money, health, relationships, situations that you're worried and preoccupied with. It's recognizing that as part of the human family, it's your opportunity to receive peace, safety, abundance, healing, love, fulfillment on behalf of everybody as you're accepting it for Charlotte, as you're accepting it for Sam. So it's like receiving an Oscar or a Grammy on behalf of someone who's not at the ceremony. So let's say the top of the hour comes and you're feeling like you're concerned about money. And it's just as easy as laying in the sunshine to get warm after you've been in the ocean. Because I find that to be helpful, because when you get out of the ocean and you're at the beach, you're not so much worried about what you're going to do 5 minutes later. You're just laying down in your beach towel or your lounge chair. And envision that instead of rays of sunshine, they're rays of healing love, of safety, of comfort, of abundance. And if you can have the feeling from the inside out, it's really just identifying with your spiritual essence that has no problems, already has everything forever.
Right.
And you're grateful for those rays. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But not just for me, because you don't pray, oh God, just shine on me at the beach. You might as well just let that sun shine on everybody, the Republicans, the Democrats, the blacks, the whites, the rich, the poor. Just let those rays and be glad they're shining on everybody as you're accepting them for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a tough lesson for people to learn, because,
definitely.
You know, it is quite, quite an experience to be a human being. I wanted to ask you, so we talk about all this. What is your opinion? Why do you think we're actually here? Why is this dream happening in the first place?
That's a, wow, what a great question.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the meaning of life. The ultimate truth,
Sam, is that it's not actually happening. It's like a dream. It's like if we're in a movie theater, you have to, you might cry.
Right.
You might be afraid. But part of you deep down knows that it's not actually happening.
Right. So why is the dream there in the first place?
Well, it's projected out of this sense of the belief that we're a body. So it comes from our human thought system and the physical senses. Like if you just study quantum physics, it doesn't even have to be religion anymore. You just look at science. Like you were speaking about atoms. And they'll tell you that this desk is not even really solid.
Right.
And that it's not even really here.
Right.
So we're not actually really here. And that's the good news, because the world is beginning to crumble under the weight of its own unreality. There's wars and diseases, and it seems to be getting worse and worse.
But it's always been around.
You're right.
I don't know if it's really worse. You know, I mean, wars used to be a lot more brutal. Mm-hmm. People would die young because of disease. I don't subscribe to the fact that it's getting worse.
Maybe it
is. It's always been like that.
You may be right about that.
It's the human condition.
You're right. But we are at any given moment, you know, hypothetically, on the verge of complete annihilation.
Yeah, so, I guess we are.
So you could say that. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't always the case.
Right.
But you're right. But in the sense of things that the world humanly, there's nothing good or bad. Only God is real, in other words.
Right.
So the good news is, it's not like it's, oh, you know, most people, when you say, well, the world's not actually happening, they hear it as a loss. Oh, what do you mean? You know, I really want the world to be real. That's why it's here. That's why we still see it, because we value it and we want it. And the purpose of the body is to strive, because it's inherently unfulfilled, because it feels separate and isolated. So it always feels like it needs something else to happen in the future, or to acquire, attain, achieve something that doesn't already have, so it can feel complete. Mm. But the spirit already is complete. So you want the world to be real. It's good to realize that.
Yeah.
I feel like something's going to happen, and then everything's going to be great, and I'm never going to lose it. Woohoo! Until you find out, go visit an emergency ward in a hospital, or an old folks' home. You know, so you got to be realistic in that top of the hour moment. I'm not saying don't enjoy your human life. I'm looking forward to Major League Baseball season.
Yeah.
I have a gig at the farmers market in Encino next Sunday. You know, so there are things I like doing. I'm a human person. You know, but on the inside, we're all not human. We're spirits,
and we're spirits.
To be spirits in the material world. But why do we see it? Because we want it to be real.
Mm.
But you know, have you ever had a dream where you really? You started to wake up, but you didn't want to because you're enjoying the dream, but you realize it was just a dream and you had to wake up.
Right.
I'm here as a spiritual teacher to say we need to wake up.
Right.
So you think you're in a dream?
Yes.
And you're waiting to wake up, and you'll wake up in a next life, in a new body?
Well, ultimately the goal of, let's say, Buddhism, because I don't want to limit to just Jesus, but is to get off the wheel of birth and death. So you keep coming back like a school to learn. But ultimately, the lesson is to learn that you're not just a body. You're not just a person, and you're not separate from everything. We're soaking in God right now.
Right.
So who you really are is one with God, and there's no loss in that. It's only gain.
Right. But based on your theory or explanation, I still don't understand why it was necessary to put the spirits in a body and create this illusion for them. You know, I mean, the thing is this, is that... you know, like we talked about the Kabbalah and stuff. They have great explanations that speak to me. Yeah. But I'm really,
Kabbalah.
You know, wondering, because everybody's got their different views on why, on the meaning of life, and why we're here in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, once you agree we're spirits, you know.
Kabbalah explains this, what I call not actually happeningism, except it gives this world, as Jesus called it, the 1% reality. They call it the 1% world.
Okay.
So they would give that Monopoly game scenario 1% reality. And then the 99% world is the kingdom of heaven, which is within our consciousness somewhere. And that's where the meditation comes in. Because as long as you're wanting, fearing, hating, and the mind is going on and on like a car without brakes or a dog, hungry dog on a bone, there's no space to receive the awareness of your eternal nature.
Mm.
So it's not easy, but... that's why I find that people in times of crisis, there's some interest in like, well, what is there besides the world?
Right.
While things are going good, most people don't get interested.
Exactly.
Very
Only
true.
When they get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start looking inside, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I try to encourage people to use their fears, their upsets at that top of the hour time, depending on what's going on for you at that moment, as incentive to let go of the world and make the space to receive the awareness of the peace of God, which is always there.
Yeah.
It's like water on a fish that's thirsty, or it's like tuning into a radio station. Right. If I don't type, I call it logging on to your inner net. Mm. So if you type in www.loveandpeace.com, as if you're imagining you're typing it in, and then you wait for the, like you had a dial-up where you had to wait. There's nothing you could do. Remember back in the old days, you had to wait. Right. So the praying is like you type it in, www.perfecthealth.com, strength, whatever it is. And then while you're waiting for the connection, that's the meditation where you put, you just wait. There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
But the waiting is the meditating.
So, yeah,
but then what do you do once you've waited? Do you think about what I did? You say love and health. I don't remember what you said. But do you then go into that, or do you just leave it after like you've waited for the dial up? And then
I have a whole bunch of exercises that I teach people. One is to imagine like you're a dry, thirsty sponge of fear, let's say, and then you've just been placed into a jacuzzi of perfect safety, unthreatenable safety and security.
Right.
And you effortlessly, like a thirsty sponge, practice absorbing a sense of total safety into every area of your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body. And you do the best to practice that. And it does take practice, like playing an instrument. If you wanted to learn guitar and I gave you a lesson, you'd need to practice.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Or
there
let's
you
say,
go. Yeah. Yeah.
And let's say in this case, and the perfection already exists, your spirit and reality already happens. So many people say, well, we need to create our own reality. Don't be negative. The fact is reality already is, and this world is unreal. So to let go of the unreal and to call upon the strength, there's strength available to help you. It's like what I like in, you know, easy off oven cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to scrub. You just spray it on your oven, and then you wait. Or scrubbing bubbles in the shower. There's an aspect to spirit that you call on it. That's your business. You call on, like, putting yourself in the sun to get warm at the beach. But then the relaxing in the rays is allowing the corrective power of spirit to shine away your illusions, and it gives you a greater awareness the more you practice.
Right.
That who you really are is peace, is spirit, is indestructible. And not even nuclear bombs can harm that part of you. And that's why it's so valuable to be aware that who you really are is spirit.
Right.
Because even if you're being, in the most extreme example, we have Easter coming up, even if you're being nailed to a cross, who you really are is unharmed. That's the message of Easter.
Sounds good. Sounds very interesting. So you spend a lot of your life thinking about these things. Do you have any time for fun at all?
Most of my time is fun, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, don't, I'm not, see, you want to hear,
kidding.
you want to hear it as a loss, but it's all gain.
Why would it be a loss?
It's not a loss.
Not at all. I mean, it's like, it's amazing, you know. I mean, I salute you for doing this, being able to connect and find your inner peace. You know, some people go through life, their entire life, and they don't find it.
So I'm saying, you know, you said it was United Nations Happy Day. I'm saying the top of each hour can be happy 5 minutes or 5 seconds.
Right.
Obviously, you're busy. But it's like a bus that's leaving. You can get on it or not. I'm not saying be fanatical about anything, but just consistency adds up. And that you're accepting happiness, let's say, on behalf of everybody. And then you're more likely to receive it for yourself if you are, you know, in essence, praying for everybody, not just yourself. So it's like voting in that sense, in conscious. Yeah. You know, Gandhi says, be the change. We still hear humanly being as doing. Oh, I got to do something to be the change. But being is being.
Right.
So if you want a safe world, you got to practice feeling safe. You want a world of freedom, you have to practice one holy instant at the top of that hour of total freedom. And real freedom is freedom from the body. It's freedom from personality, time, the pressure of past and future. It's like if you're working as a costume character at Disneyland, but you've got a 20-minute break to do whatever you do, smoke a cigarette, go to the bathroom, have a snack. You go backstage of Disneyland and you take off that big hot costume and you set it on the side.
Right.
Can you, at the top of each hour, like as if you could unzip your whole body and persona, set the pressure of being a person, its past, its future, its wanting, its fearing, its hating, its all that, and just set that aside for a second and take off that pressure of your human self.
Right.
That would be meditating.
Yeah, it seems to be working. I mean, you seem to be a calm person and everything. You know, I'm like fire sometimes, but I find that I have to calm myself down sometimes, you know, and really find that peace. You know, sometimes you just want to slow down, and it's impossible because we're too stuck and caught up in our lives.
How many hours a day do you do this?
Well, you know, I'm having to work now for a living, which is really pretty interesting. I'm working a sales job. I'd much rather be talking about this kind of stuff, but I'm too either lazy or humble to write a book. I haven't decided what it is. But the thing is, you just want to pick it one thought at a time, Sam. If you think of it as this vast future tense, I want to be peaceful, I'm not peaceful. If you just stand like Eckhart Tolle made this one nice example of a cat watching a mouse hole, and you say, I wonder what my next thought's going to be. And you just take it that one thought at a time in your meditation, and you recognize, is that past, is that future? Just observing.
Right.
Is it wanting? Is it fearing? And then you apply some spiritual principles to it. You call upon that strength that's always there, but we need to call on it. Like, there's a website called latalkradio.com, but if I don't hit the right keys on my keyboard or turn on the sound, or if I'm not plugged into the wall right, I'm not going to get the show, even though it's broadcasting.
Exactly. Or you'll go to some shitty-ass station or something.
Yeah, something much worse. This is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Thank you. Yeah. Corey, we have about 10 minutes left. Let's cover some of your music as well. Let's talk about that.
Okay, thanks.
You said you're going to perform this weekend?
You know what? I'm at a place called the Encino Farmers Market Victory.
But those farmers markets are pretty cool, actually. I mean, you get a lot of people get to see you, right?
You know, I would hope so. This will be the first one. Yeah. I've got a friend of mine, and she took me to the Encino Farmers Market, and I've been recently singing hits of the 60s and 70s, mostly the 70s. I'm a child of the 70s. I know, right. I look ageless and eternal. And that's another benefit, ladies and gentlemen, of meditation. Through identifying with your eternal essence, you don't age as quickly when you stay peaceful.
That's true. Yeah, you do seem quite young and everything. I mean, probably younger than your age, because you've been talking about 80s, 90s and everything, so you've been around.
I don't mind telling you, I am 50 years old. I turned 50 last November.
So. Wow.
But, you know, 117 pounds, 5'5", you know. So,
yeah.
But really the main thing about staying is to stay peaceful.
Yeah.
And not to get into the grievances. I wanted to say this. Most people, speaking as a teacher of God, I will say this, go on a limb and say the entire country, most of the world has no idea what forgiveness is. And so I wanted to ask, but thank you for mentioning. You want to hear just a little snippet of a couple of the tunes I'm going to do at the farmer's market? Just a very, very brief.
Yeah, well, we're out of time, but I know you're dying to do, so maybe do a couple
quick. Just even like a line or two of us each.
Yeah,
a song.
Why not?
I mean, just to give you some idea.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so down depressed. Then I set my sights on Monday. So there's some America, and I do like monkeys.
Sister Golden Hair, it's funny you brought that up.
Underneath the wings of the bluebird as she sings, the 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. So we do some monkeys, some Partridge Family. Ba 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 ba. Got some Neil Diamond. Let's see. Where it began, I can't begin to know it. You know that. All these hits of the 70s. Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, definitely all 70s.
I love
hits
that stuff.
And stuff.
What were you going to say about Sister Golden Hair?
Sister Golden Hair is one of my favorite songs, and it's funny because. And it's funny, this is the first song you brought up, because let me tell you a short story. My family came to visit the United States like in a year before I moved here, in 1975. And, you know, we had a blast and everything. And then we stopped in Detroit to see some people. I mean, it's obviously not the place you go when you're a tourist. Who goes to Detroit?
I was born in Detroit.
Really?
Yes, but we digress. Yeah. That's what it says on my birth certificate if I ever decide to run for president. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Detroit.
So we went, I guess, with some friends over there. We went to a nightclub. And there was a band, and at the time, you know, I was like 15 years old, but everybody, you know, my family would always get me to go on stage and play and sing and stuff. So they talked to the band here, and they talked me into doing this. Reluctantly, I got on the stage, picked up the guitar, and started singing, and that was a song I sang.
Wow.
So, because at the time, you know, it was a 1975 song, and at the time, I loved the song so much, and then my mom started liking it because That's where, you know, I played that in Detroit. So every time the song comes up, oh, do you remember Detroit? God, Aww. Mom, yes, I do. How can I forget? You know, you keep reminding me all the time. But to this day, I still listen to a lot of America.
Me too.
Know?
I was listening on the way over, and I love that song. And a lot of songs we do are from that era, like Year of the Cat and Wildfire. Yeah. And just I try to do these songs that bring people back to a memory like you just had when they hear it. And I think that's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know?
And for Charlotte, it's ancient history, of course.
It is, but those songs are good.
But and I knew.
And those are like classics.
Yeah,
those are classics. I mean, the 60s and 70s were so productive as far as music. Most of the classics we listen to today were 70s bands, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. And you know what I'm saying?
I think that after the late 60s, when musicians were so empowered, like Bob Dylan and John Lennon, and they actually caused a ruckus over the Vietnam War, some of the powers that be, I mean, the power shadowy behind the government, decided that we're going to kind of pull the plug on musicians being able to have so much power. And that's why, as you're speaking with Spotify and streaming, very difficult for musicians and artists to make a living nowadays.
Right.
Because those people, first thing they did was cut the music program.
Right.
That's why you don't see the quality of music and art that you see in the 60s and 70s, because there just isn't that encouragement. It's not encouraged, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but they are saying, you know, like 50 years from now, nobody's going to remember the songs we listen to today. You know, they're not going to be classics. They're cool, but they're not like classics material and stuff, you know.
I agree.
So, yeah. So, I always go back. I mean, you know, we're talking about Spotify, my playlists and everything. Most of it is 70s, 80s, you know.
Me too.
That's when I really enjoy the music.
We do some Oriental. Oh, life is bigger. Bigger than you, you are not. So we do some R.E.M., we do some hits in the 80s also, but cool. I mostly live in the 70s.
So is it going to be like a solo act? Just
you know what,
the
I'm
guitar?
Playing with my friend Michelle on the bass.
Oh, nice.
So it's a little duo.
Yeah, do you have a drum machine or something?
There's a little drum machine, but we're probably not going to use it because the farmer's market is more of a calm sort of sedate situation.
Right.
But we are available for parties or, you know, whatever, what have you.
Okay. So go ahead, give some contact information so people
my
can find
email,
you.
Thank you, Sam. My email is Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at Corey Leland, LELAND.com. Corey Leland, iTunes. You can find all my music. I've got 63 songs for the preschool family market.
Wow.
Every song's a great message.
Yeah. And you sing a lot for kids and stuff, too.
Never planned to, but it came to me as my first professional songwriting and music producing job because I've always had this happy retro style. Mm-hmm. And there was a particular producer of a musical that figured that would be good for kids. And as it turns out, kids are just little humans.
Right.
And they have brains, too, and they want to be happy, and they have fears. And so all the spiritual teaching I've been doing with grown-ups, I applied to a lot of these songs for kids, too. And what it turned out to be was to hopefully raise more conscious, happy human beings from the ground up.
Right.
So I try to give them advanced, helpful messages and coping skills in song that will help them to navigate the difficulties of being a human.
Yeah. Now, do kids pay attention to lyrics and stuff like that?
I'm not so sure that they do, but I think if you're listening to something over and over and over again, maybe it's by the time you're 30 or 40, you go, wait a minute, that stuff was... Maybe by the time you're 40, it hits you, wait a minute, that stuff was pretty cool. The Insects Rock, that Corey Leland guy was onto something. I didn't even realize while he was singing, why would I want to wear diapers when I could wear underpants? He was talking about growing and outgrowing other things also, you know. So, but a song like for, it's more than a blanket to me. I was imagining as I was writing it a mom or a dad who has a you know debilitating addiction also hearing it as not only the kid being willing to let go of their blanket attachment, but they need to outgrow something too and let go of something. So I try to give it a grown-up meaning.
Deep meanings.
Yeah. So I try to let it be something for the whole family, like the kids learning to put their toys away, but the dad's deciding not to dump toxic pollutants into the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about responsibility. So I'm still looking to make the show. They're emotional superheroes. It's a cartoon band of insects called the Insects Rock. And each episode, they meet a different kid or a mom or dad who's upset about something. And through their deep wisdom and rock and roll music, bubblegum, retro pop, and humor, they teach people coping skills, how to deal with their own thoughts and feelings.
Mm, very cool. Well, you're very original, very unique.
Thank you, sir.
And
ma'am.
It was was a pleasure having you.
The hour just flew by.
Yes,
I'll come back
does.
Tomorrow, but I know you won't let me in, but I'll come back.
We'll have you back for sure.
Please do. Thank you.
And you're a lot of fun. I like the aliens on your guitar, too.
You know what? They just appeared there one night.
Really?
And I just decided to let them stay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
We prefer extraterrestrial.
Kids love aliens.
We prefer the term extraterrestrial. Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody, go and catch Corey Leland at the Encino Farmers Market. When is that, Sunday?
Next, a week from Sunday, the 30th of March, Encino Farmers Market, Victory Boulevard, just west of Balboa, and it's free to get in. So come on down and get some fresh produce and tip us generously, please.
We'll be singing
your favorite hits of the 70s.
Right. So you tried to live off the music and you realized I need a real job too.
Unfortunately, I did have to go, and I'm going to have to go to a sales job now. But I'm available to teach meditation.
Okay.
I do one-on-one. I'll do classes. I'll sing at your birthday party. I'll do just about anything.
Sounds good. Yeah. CoreyLeland.com. Yeah. Everybody go check it out. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and everywhere else. And if you want to debate politics, he's willing to do that as well. Corey, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Sam.
All
thank
the
you,
best
Charlotte.
To you.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Charlotte,
God
have
bless.
A great weekend. And we'll see everybody Monday.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.